Welcome to the Faith Fighter Podcast. This is your host, Nathan Brown. This is episode number 5. I definitely appreciate you joining me each week as we dive into the Word of God and talk about our fight for the faith. I will ask you to continue to listen, but also to share the podcast that we may spread the word about it and other people may listen to it. And tonight, we're going to go back to the basics. We're going to talk about, for a few minutes here, how to lead someone to the Lord. And not so much the method in which you do it, but more of the verses that we could use, that I personally use when leading someone to the Lord. And this is actually referred to the Roman road. I believe it's probably the easiest method to use when leading someone to the Lord because it's verses that you can memorize without much effort. And I believe we should all have them memorized, that we should not have to pull out a Bible to be able to share these verses with people. And I believe that each one of us, that we are, I believe we're required. If you want to get down to it, we're required to tell others about Jesus. It's not like God saved us and said, okay, you're saved now. You don't have to do anything else. You know, not just fighting for the faith, as we have been talking about for the last 4 weeks, but also we are required to share the gospel with other people. And when we begin in Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, Paul tells the church of Rome, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The first thing that we need to make people realize is that we're all sinners. There's absolutely nobody in the world that has not sinned. Now, a sin is just a transgression against God. It's doing something that is wrong. I mean, all of us know what's morally right and morally wrong. I mean, I believe you are born with a nature to know what's morally right and what's morally wrong. So to sin is just to go against that. It's to go against what's morally right. It's to do what is morally wrong. So we all have sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. In other words, what I mean by that is we don't, on our own accord, on our own abilities, on our own strength, we can't be saved. And that's why, you know, Paul tells us in Ephesians that, you know, it's not by works that we are saved, but by grace alone through faith. So the first thing we need to make someone realize is we're all sinners. We're not trying to judge them. We're not trying to pick on them. We're not trying to call them out for sins. And the truth is, I'm still a sinner. The only difference in me and the drunkard in the alley or the murderer on death row is that, you know, I've been saved by the grace of God, and they can be also. I worked in the prison ministry for a couple years, and, you know, I talked to many people that have found Christ in prison. So we don't want to approach the subject of salvation with someone as if we're better than they are, because we're not. You know, we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But the next verse we go to, we go from Romans 3:23 to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we first want to make the point that we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. But then we don't want to leave them there. We want to let them know that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us while we are yet sinners. In other words, Christ is offering us his blood. God is offering us his son while we are sinners. We don't have to get our life right before we come to Christ. We have already acknowledged that we're sinners. We have already acknowledged that we fall short of the glory of God and that we can't get there on our own. So the next thing we need to realize, if we can't get there on our own, if we do fall short of the glory of God, if we are sinners, then we need to realize that there is a God that loves us, There is his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, even in our sinful condition. And that's just an awesome thought to know. But once we tell them that, we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and then we tell them that Jesus Christ came and died for us because God loved us that much, then we must explain to them what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sin that we have committed, the penalty for sin is death. Physical death and spiritual death. Spiritual death is total separation from God. It is the fact that because of our sin that has separated us from God. We can't come to God on our own accord. We can't do anything to get to God. The wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is total separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God has given us a gift. If I was to tell you that I have $1,000 in my hand, and I will give it to the first person that calls me, how many people would be picking up that phone and dialing my number? But God is telling you, I am giving you eternal life. I am giving you a life that is abundant, that is awesome, that is overflowing with the blessings of God. I'm giving you eternal life. I'm giving you the ability to not be separated from God for all eternity. And people still turn it down. I don't know about you, but I believe that eternity with God and salvation is a lot more important to me than $1,000. So we look at Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We look at Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We looked at Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we go to Romans 10. Now, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, basically gives us the way that we are saved. Now, we have discussed in these first three verses what we need in order to come to salvation. We need to realize that we are sinners. We need to realize that Christ died for us. We need to realize that all we got to do is ask Christ and accept that free gift of salvation to come to him. Then Paul says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the next thing we need to tell them, once we have shown them that they're all sinners, that we have all made mistakes, then we show them that Jesus Christ died for them, and then we show them that salvation is a free gift, that all they have to do is accept it. Then we come face to face with the fact that we're sinners. We know that Christ died for us. We know that all we have to do is accept the gift. So how do we accept it? All we have to do, it's not rocket science. It's not something that is a 3, 4, 5-step program. We just have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to confess. We have to tell Jesus we believe in him. We have to tell Jesus that we believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again. Do you believe that? Before you can tell someone that they need to believe it, do you believe that? So we need to confess with our mouth. We need to say with our mouth that we believe in Jesus, that we believe he died, that we believe he rose again. And then verse 10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then we need to, once we have told God that we believe in Christ, that we believe he died, that we believe he rose again, then we need to confess our sins. We need to tell God that we know that we are a sinner. We know that we can't live without him, and that we want to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We want to have him come into our life and to save us. Sometimes people forget Romans 10:13. They kind of stop at Romans 10:9 and 10. But Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's all you have to do. There is no sinner's prayer. There's no special words that we have to say. We just have to tell God, look, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he lived. We believe he died. We believe he rose again. And we want to confess our sins. We want to say that we are sorry for our sins. And we want him to save us and forgive us of our sins. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever does that, the Bible says he will be saved. Now, here's my question for you. Since I'm speaking to you about how to lead others to Christ, I want to look at verses 14 and 15 of Romans 10. It says, "How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How then shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How are they going to trust Christ if they never heard of him? How are they going to believe on him if they never heard of him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You say, well, that's my pastor's job then. No, the word preach means to proclaim. We all are told to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We're all told to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is not your pastor's job to lead everybody to Christ. It's your pastor's job as a Christian to lead people to Christ. But it's your pastor's job as your pastor to prepare you to lead others to Christ. And it says in verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now you may look at that and you say, well, he says, you know, how can they preach unless they've been sent? Well, you may think you've never been sent, but you have. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So there, right there in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, he's telling us that we are supposed to go and preach the gospel. Maybe that's not enough for you. Let's go to Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth." He says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, in other words, when you get saved, then you are supposed to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, which is your area around you, in Judea, which will be a little further out, in Samaria, which will be a little further out, and in the othermost parts of the earth. But you may say, well, I just don't always believe that we need to do that. Well, maybe you personally need to pray what Paul said and what Paul told us in Romans 10:1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We need to have a desire for people to be saved. That should be our prayer every day. Lord, lead me to somebody who I can share the gospel with. Lead me to somebody that I can tell about the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 is clear. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must be the ones who spread the gospel. They will hear the gospel, but they must hear the word of God. Yes, it's great to tell them what God has done for us. Sometimes that's the easiest way to witness. But folks, we can't do any better than the word of God. We need to share the gospel with those who are in need. Thank you for listening again tonight. I pray that I can always be faithful in doing this, because I believe that we need to get the word of God out, and we need to be ones who are fighting for the faith. So I ask you now, number one, are you in the fight? And number two, are you willing to stay in the fight? Thank you. God bless, and have a wonderful night.